Another wild weekend in the IPL. I hope you got the Jaiswal jump like we did. Today we're going to review the weekend, talk about the upcoming matches, and give you some suggestions on the heroes and zeros for the end of the season. Here we go.
Hey, what a weekend.
Yeah.
That was some up and down fantasy cricket. The IPL.
I've got to imagine
delivering.
That you, I got to imagine you, the listener, your league also had a weekend like our league did.
It had to have. I mean, as far as certain players, certain teams, certain matchups, just completely delivering. And then, you know, also causing a whole bunch of twist and shout, depending on, you know, if you were climbing the rankings or plummeting down the rankings. It was an interesting weekend in our home league, and I think you need to explain yourself, sir, about your booster. Well,
yeah, I do owe an apology, I think, or something. If you were paying attention to our last episode, I had a bit of a venting session about how nervous I was about using my booster on the KKR GT game, which I went through my whole spiel about how on paper it is a great match to play. It is at 4 a.m. my time, so I got up at 3:45 in the morning.
Good.
And came out, got myself set up to watch it, and then I saw that it was rain delayed. I was like, you have to be kidding me. I put so much into this, and now it's a rain delay. And I just thought, you know, they were talking about it might rain later. It actually ended up not raining much, and it sounded like the field was in decent condition. But even with the chance that it might get delayed again, it might get shortened, I decided not to use my booster. I did not want to take that chance.
Well, and it ended up being the right call for you.
It ended up being the right call for the wrong reason, but the right call because I think, I don't have the numbers in front of me. It's like the first time in 2 weeks that I have not had these numbers in front of me, even when we're not recording. But I had said that on our podcast, that it was like a 9% chance that they would score under 1,000 points or something.
And?
Based on what they did in the previous matches, all these players I was going to pick.
But you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, exactly. That's the meme we need for this one. Because it was well below 1,000 points. It was 640, I think.
Yeah,
is what I would have scored if I had played who I was planning on playing. And I even, actually, the first thing I saw when I got up and I looked at the red dots, I saw that Jason Roy wasn't playing. And I was like,
yes.
This is it. This is it. The gods have smiled. The fantasy gods have smiled upon me. Jason Roy's not playing. And then, of course, Ramanullah Gurbaz comes in and eats up all the runs.
It was a weird match. I don't blame you for backing out. But for our listeners, I want to point this out. That this is twice now. So, you know, you let us down this road, this miracle match, Eden Gardens, perfect venue, perfect setups of teams, and then you bailed. I don't know how many matches ago I got to go back to where you said Josh Butler wasn't going to play. And then you got up before everybody else did at 3:45 in the morning and you played him.
Yep.
So maybe you got kind of an evil genius thing going on here. This is just,
you know how Shikhar Dhawan has been kind of like on the edge of playing for a few weeks, a few matches.
Yeah.
I've avoided saying anything about it. I don't want to be the one that says like, "Oh, it sounds like he's going to play," and then everybody puts him in their lineup.
You are that influential. You know, you have,
I guess
you
that's
have
nice
that power. But on the flip side, you bailed on your booster. I committed to mine and I was rewarded. I feel very handsomely. The
what was the total? Almost 1,300 points, right?
1,297. So we were talking about this off air. I missed on a couple things. I couldn't justify spending transfers on uncapped players and the bullying issue for having Indian players with that matchup, which was the PBKS CSK matchup, by the way, got tight. And I was staring down having to start Harpreet Brar or like Akash Singh, and I just didn't feel great about that. So I ended up playing Rahul Chahar, who I would imagine most people have not played this year, but then it meant I couldn't play Shivam Dubey because then I needed to play Taid at bat. So there was some mix-ups and rounds. The only non-Indian player I had was Devin Conway, who went for man of the match. So yeah. it was a good placeholder. Yeah, and then what was weird is I had a miscalculation. I was trying to pay attention to where I thought Shivam Dubey and where Moeen Ali would bat. It looked like Dubey was going to bat late. Instead, he batted early. And then Rahain never came in to bat at all. So Rahain got a start for me, and I think that's it. So there was a couple of pieces that I feel like I missed out on about 200 total points as far as rearranging some stuff or whatever. But my threshold for an okay day on that was 800. A good day was 1,000, and I was to be super excited if I got to 1,200 points on that. I broke through that threshold, so I feel great. And then the whole world, it seemed like, capitalized the very next match with Jaiswal.
Yeah.
So I had on almost a 2,000 point day using 4 transfers. that's fantasy gold right there. It's probably not sustainable. Well, I know it's not sustainable because now I'm way behind as far as how my roster is set up. But you took advantage of Jaiswal today, didn't you?
Yeah, I last minute switched out. I always had Butler and Jaiswal in my lineup, but I switched out the captain and vice captain. I originally had Butler as captain and Jaiswal as vice captain because, I mean, that just feels right, right? That seems like what it should be. Like, Butler's the hero. He's been doing it for years. He's got the proven record. And Jaiswal's the new hotness, but can he really sustain it? But I was like, dude, this is in such good form right now.
Gosh.
Switched it over and glad I did.
We started drooling about that guy, you know, an episode or two ago, for good reason. But it's interesting. You said you switched him last minute. How often do you feel like your last minute changes help versus hurt when you make those last minute change your minds, change your rosters?
It's probably 50-50.
Okay. I almost always regret it.
It hurts more when it hurts.
So when it hurts more when it hurts versus it feels good, going back to your booster, were you more bummed that all that planning, all that positioning ended up not being useful, or more excited that it was the right thing to pull the plug?
I think in the end I was more excited because I did a lot of positioning. I had this match on my mind for a week at least. And I also thought I kind of found a diamond in the rough. Like, KKR is not a team you usually think of as being one you want to play on your booster.
Yeah.
Even Gujarat isn't. Gujarat is, they're great on the field, but they don't have a lot of like huge star players. So I thought I found the diamond in the rough where there's enough really good players that are all Indian. And there's not very many overseas players to steal the points. So I was really disappointed to not play it. And I did last minute. Like, there was 1 minute left on the timer. I was like, whatever, I'm just going to do it. Maybe the weather will screw it up, or maybe it won't. So I started going in and putting everybody back in my lineup, and then went to the captain and vice captain, was like,
you just couldn't commit.
I can't do this. So I didn't end up not doing that last minute switch.
Oh,
but also I think it helped that, you know, you played your booster, but even without my booster, I scored like 1200 points today.
Yeah.
So, or no, not quite, 11 something
still.
So that really helped bring me out of the slump from yesterday.
Yep.
So we've talked about a few things from this weekend. We're going to mix things up a little bit rather than go through each match individually. We're just going to look at like our big takeaways from the weekend, from these last 4 or 5 matches. We've already talked about them a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you watched the matches, you played your teams. We don't necessarily need to rehash who did well, who did bad. But I think the first thing that I want to talk about, I'm going to go a little out of order here, is specific to Jaiswal, because we're hot on him, we're talking about him, is whether or not you feel okay captaining or vice-captaining uncapped players. So Jaiswal is now the number one fantasy play in terms of fantasy points scored. He's uncapped. He's cheap. It's time to be serious about some of these uncapped players.
Yeah, if you look at the top players right now, there's Jaiswal, who we just talked about. Next up is Conway. He's overseas. He's kind of expensive. Next is Pfaff, overseas, expensive. Jadeja, just regular expensive. And then you've got a couple, Axar Patel, Gaikwad. And then you've got more, expensive, Coley, overseas, Stoinis and Curran. Like, he's clearly the best play right now. Like, the set it and forget it, like, leave him on your lineup.
Yeah, and even if you don't leave him in your lineup, because he's uncapped, you just go get him again. And it doesn't hurt you. If you need one guy, if RR is playing and you need one guy, it's Jaiswal. And it's not because he's not free.
This is not a Harry Brook chase the points situation. Like, we're not telling you to put Jaiswal in because he scored a century this time. We're telling you to put him in because he's cheap. He's free, even, as an uncapped transfer. And he has not scored less than 60 fantasy points in four matches. So he's had two busts. He scored over 100 like three times and over 200 once.
Yeah, don't chase points. We're not saying that. But this is now a keystone in your lineup every time RR plays. And because he's cheap and he's a batter, you can probably just sit on him. But even if you don't, just add him back every time they play. But Jaiswal's the orange cap leader and the fantasy cap.
Yep.
Leader, if that's a thing.
It is now.
But then you got Trash Panda, also uncapped, who is now the purple cap leader. Yeah, he earned my trust sooner than Jaiswal for some reason. Maybe it's just because I feel like he's on a little bit better team overall, but he always gets his work, which is a big deal. But
yeah,
another two wickets today for Trash Panda. And again, he's bowling in multiple phases in the game, so he's getting opportunities, and he always gets his wickets. I don't know that there is any bowler that you can put in your lineup right now that if you just need a wicket, just one, that you can count on more than Trash Panda.
By the way, in case you're new to the podcast, we are talking about Tushar Deshpande from CSK.
That's exactly what I said, Trash Panda.
See, that's why we call him that. He's always finding wickets in garbage time. The other uncapped player, I think the only other one that I'm really comfortable with a vice captain, not captain, is Rinku Singh from KKR. He's actually, I think he's still, no, Chatty Cathy passed him up, but he's one of the top scorers from Rinku Singh or from KKR in fantasy. He's had some great matches. He always looks like he's just ready to own the place when he's out there. The only thing that really gives me pause is that he seemed to kind of be filling the Andre Russell role at bat because Andre Russell was not doing well. And now maybe Andre Russell's turning things around. So that's I wouldn't give him a captain because there's a chance he doesn't get up to bat. And he actually seems to get a good number of catches too. Like, he's always active in the field.
Yeah, he's clearly a good all-around player. It's just, he doesn't bat early enough in the order where you feel super confident that he's going to have, you know, the chances that you want to create big fantasy points. We know he can and he will with less than most guys will. But I like that. I feel like, his ceiling for me is a vice captaincy. Unless, I don't know. Like, depending on who KKR is playing, maybe he really is your highest ceiling player. And if you're being conservative, then why not?
For example, if you're looking at match 47, which we'll talk about later coming up, Sunrisers versus KKR, I mean, he's free. I'm going to want to sit that match out mostly. He might get my captaincy. I don't know who else I'd give it to, really.
Well, let's just say you're sitting on, like, Aiden Markram. He's already there. You don't want to burn a transfer on that match, so you bring in Rinku. And you're going to vice captain one, captain the other. I think I'd rather captain Rinku.
So that's the next one. That's the first one. I'll go ahead with my next things we learned. I think that Super Kings are the team. If you're going to build a booster, if you want to do a booster, They're the team to build it around. They have so many high caliber players. Even when they lose, which they've lost a few matches, they still have like four or five really good players, and you kind of count on a lot of them to be the good players.
Yeah. Well, that is the single most valuable thing when it comes to using your boosters, is knowing who's going to get an opportunity to play. Well, so for sure, Conway and Gaikwad are going to open, and then you know Trash Panda's getting work. You know Jadeja's getting work. I think it's there's just a few guys that are a little shakier in terms of, you know, when they're going to play, how they're going to play, and that's kind of the Moeen Alis, that's sort of the Shivam Dubies. Like, those guys float around just a little bit, but that's because Dhoni's an evil genius, and he plays matchups against the batters and the bowlers so well that it's a little less predictable.
Yeah, you kind of have that Dubé, Rahane, Ali, like, will they, won't they?
But you can
get up next. But even, I mean, most,
no,
most
but you can use you basically any of the boosters in a match involving CSK, because obviously Devin Conway is unbelievable. There's your 3X if you want it. You could get Braver and use it on Gaikwad if you think he's going to have the game. But as far as overseas players, you've got Conway right there. You've got Moeen Ali. The bowlers, in terms of Tikshana and those guys, are starting to come around. They look good. So depending on who they're playing, you only need one more guy there. And then I used them to make up half of my Indian booster play today. Jadeja was unbelievable. You know, Gaikwad is amazing. Like, it's, you can use them in any number of formulas here. I really like that you put this in here, because even though CSK is maybe sliding in the reality of the IPL, they're super strong in terms of creating good IPL fantasy opportunity for you.
CSK is not invincible at Chipok anymore. They've lost two big ones there. So they can lose, but Conway is invincible there. The last four matches they've played, match 41, 49, 55, and 61, he scored 178 fantasy points. He scored 105 fantasy points, 169 fantasy points, and 86.
So he does points. He doesn't
and
bust.
And you keep going back. The next one before that was match 6, 76 fantasy points. He has not busted, and he hasn't just not busted. He's been great.
So you brought up something last episode, again, when we were talking about the Indian players booster that we were both looking at, choosing your captain when you're using those boosters to know, you know, who's, you want the winning team. And I thought, for sure, like, CSK doesn't lose at Chipok. So it was like, you want CSK players for your captains and vice captains, because it betters your chances that the winning team is going to be a man of the match. Devin Conway beat that trend today by being on the losing team and still winning many of the match. Interestingly, Chaiswell did the same thing. So we're starting to see a little change in that. I think, was Shikarta Juan the only other one to have done that before today, and now they both did it?
Yeah, there's been three in 1 year. I think that's probably pretty rare.
So there's a lot of subjectivity to that, but Conway is so transcendent that he's doing that for CSK. So forget whether or not CSK is winning or losing. In real life, they're going to help you win a lot of points in fantasy.
I did misspeak one time. One of those was Chinnaswamy. It was 169. But that doesn't change the fact that he hasn't busted in Chennai.
Do you want to move to some of this sort of intangible, lesser tangible things we've learned?
Well, my big takeaway from this weekend was, and this is a phrase that we've borrowed from one of our favorite fantasy football podcasts, the Fantasy Footballers, and that is, to stay water. You don't want to get too hooked into your plans as far as transfers go and who you're going to put your boosters on. Like, you have to be able to, when things come up, like the weather looks bad at Eden Gardens, you have to be able to say, okay, I'm not going to play my booster here. It can be really hard, especially when you've been planning for that booster for a while. I brought KKR players in like 7 matches ago planning for that booster. But if the pitch is bad, or if there's some player that you're planning on bringing in isn't playing that match, you know, if you get Mark Wooded or something, you gotta be able to go with the flow.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about that in the preseason games, you know, sort of tips, tricks, strategies with that, you know, that to plan ahead, but not so far ahead. Like, be a human being when you play fantasy. Like, one of the things that drives me nuts about like playing fantasy football or any of these kinds of things is not using your own two cents often enough. If you listen to us, or if you go to any number of websites or whatever, and you just look at best batter, best bowler, best all-rounder, and those are the players that you're playing just blindly all the time, you're not really playing the game. You're not adapting. You're not, you know, looking at what you feel like is going to happen. And that can happen too within your own plans. That, you know, I basically told Mark the other day that it was going to take a typhoon to keep me from playing the Indian booster on PBKS versus CSK. I was much more entrenched than you were, that was going to happen, but I was also less nervous about it for some reason. But there was a total possibility of that. Cause one of the other things that I know we talked about preseason was also spend the transfers when you have to. So a huge part of this, like you develop this obligation to yourself to commit to your plan. Like, I don't know if it's like confirmation bias, you know, type mentality that like you put in the work, you planned, you want to be right about your plan, you want it to work out. So you force feed it even when it's not ready. And to your point, like you get Mark Wooded, for sure he's going to play, right? He started off as one of the, and then now he's not there, but he's already on your roster and you want to use a booster. Spend the transfer, get him out of there, put somebody else in if you're going to insist on using the booster. You know, like that seems so obvious, but then do it the other way around. Like, if it's so obvious that you would use a transfer to complete your roster for a booster, maybe it's even more obvious just not use the booster just yet. We're running out of matches. It's going to happen. You are going to have to get dirty to just start, you know, to use your booster at the right time. It's going to happen. We've got less than 30 matches in the regular season to go. And if you've got a plan, your plan B, plan C's are going to get limited. But there's still plenty of time. There's still plenty of great matches out there.
For sure. What's your last one, Whit?
Well, and so it's a dovetail off of that, which is why I wanted you to go first. But that's just to be patient. I think going into today in our 10-team home league, I was in 7th place. And at the end of today, I'm in 2nd. And I didn't burn an enormous amount of resources to do it. I used a booster. Most people in our league have used boosters, if not multiples at this point. So like I was comfortable sitting back and waiting. I'm using, you know, some other sort of metrics. Like I'm paying attention to my transfers I have left to transfer efficiency to know that I have enough fuel in the tank to catch up with some of these guys that have rocketed ahead of me. But I was the benefactor today. If you're the guy that just got overtaken, if you started the day in 2nd place and ended the day in 7th, Brett, then you've got time too. I think what I love most about fantasy IPL as opposed to fantasy football is that strategy will win out. If you play smart, you will do well. I know that there's a luck factor. That's fine. Like you can't plan that completely out of the game, but like in fantasy football, 16 matches, probably less, you know, whatever it is that you're playing, you know, you'll lose one guy. The impact that can have on your team can be unrecoverable. But like, if you have a sound strategy in IPL, and you're conservative about your transfers, but use them aggressively at the right time, you plan your boosters well, you pivot when you need to, if you play smart, you will play well. And over the course of the season, it will show. We're just past halfway. Stay calm. And just, you know.
Plenty of time to come back.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, regardless of which way you're moving on the roster or on the rankings in your leagues, don't worry about it. If you are playing smart so far, keep playing smart. Don't panic. Don't burn a bunch of transfers trying to catch up just because somebody passed you. There's plenty of time for it.
Yeah, you talked about we have somebody in our league who pretty much did a switcheroo with Whit. He went to bed last night in 2nd place, and he almost never misses a match. Like, almost never. He's almost always at the top of our league, but he missed the Jaiswal jump and fell down to 7th. That's painful. But he pays attention. He gets his transfers in. He uses his boosters wisely. There's no reason for me to doubt that 28 matches from now, he's going to be in the top few and make the playoffs. I mean, you even said on the opposite end of the spectrum, we talked about this a bit before we started, there's a player in our league who is by far at the bottom. He's just kind of dropped out of the league almost. Hasn't done a transfer in like 10 matches. And I think he's 4,500 points below the next lowest person. Yikes. But if he came back, if he started playing with all the transfers, all the boosters he has, even at his point, I don't think he could get to number one by the end of the season. But he could make the playoffs. He could sneak in the sixth, maybe. And if you make the playoffs, you got a chance.
I love it. And I love that about the way this game is played, is that a penny saved is a penny earned when it comes to transfers, boosters, all that kind of stuff. You can do nothing and you'll slide. That's fine. Like when I was in Iceland, I wasn't able to commit as much time to this as possible. And I slid down the rankings, but it just meant I had all of that still in my pocket. It's not a missed week. It's not like somebody takes your player and you can never get them back. You know, you have all those. So yeah, like last place guy in our league could play 7 or 8 guys in every single match from here on in. And if he hits on enough of those, be right back in the mix of things. So even now we're talking to you. If you're the guy who's down and out, just play. You never know. Just throw that in there. Another guy who was in our league who, interestingly, today just paired up with me. We didn't plan it, but he used his Indian booster on the early match and then played the same roster as me in the late match. He basically missed all the games when we were in Iceland, and now he's right back in the mix. It's a fun game. Just keep playing. Play it your way. Have fun.
Well, let's look forward. Let's see what the next next few matches have in store.
Okay. What's up first?
First one up tomorrow, Lucknow plays RCB. This on paper seems like it's going to be a barn burner with those two teams.
I know.
I will, though, just warn you, it is at Ikana Sports City in Lucknow, which is easily the place that has the lowest runs, although they do have the most wickets there. And when I look at the stadiums, I did my little stadium analysis. That one seemed to be the clear worst. The other two that were kind of low in the runs and or wickets were the Sunrisers Stadium and Delhi Stadium, Arunjali, I think is what it is. Those two, you could say, oh, those are bad because DC and SRH play there.
Right. So those are
bad. But Lucknow plays at this one.
And Lucknow is certainly poised to be a playoff team in the IPL. They're doing very well. They're doing so well that probably one of their biggest, if not their biggest star coming into the season, Cutie Cock, isn't even playing because they're like, well, we don't need him.
Yeah. So, if you guessed who are the top two stars for Lucknow going into the season, you'd say KL Rahul and Cutie Cock.
And Cutie Cock.
One's not playing. The other one's Cutie Cock.
Ouch.
I did see some Twitter talk about like who are they playing against. Punjab was so thrilled they got KL Rahul out early, but like that was the best thing that could have happened to him.
Yeah. Man, KL.
So obviously Lucknow has tons of stars.
Yeah, but that's something to really pay attention to in this match is the other side of this is RCB. There's three batters that you care about in RCB.
Yep.
Are you playing any of them?
I'm not playing any of them. No. I'm not because of the location, the venue. I'm sure one of them at least is going to get a bunch of hits or a bunch of runs. I'm not saying that none of them are going to hit. I don't know which one it'll be, but I also know that Lucknow has a turnaround in two matches.
Right.
Like they do not have to – you don't have to hold those guys for even 3 or 4 matches. It's a day away. So definitely I'm going to be loading up on Lucknow players.
So we're not super excited. Faf, Coley, Maxwell, somebody's going to do well. It might even be like – Shabazz, I don't know. Somebody's going to hit a bunch of runs for RCB, I think. And you're not wrong to play those guys. Until today, Faf was the orange cap leader. So like, if you want to play him, like I'm not telling you it's a bad move. It's just maybe prioritizing for the later matchup is starting to win on both of our strategies, it sounds like.
With the Sports City, though, with Ikana, which on Google, it's called Ekana Sports City. On fantasy, on the IPL 220 fantasy website, it is called Bharat Ratna Shri Atal Bihari Vajpayee Ekana Cricket Stadium. So I'm just going to keep calling it Ekana Sports City for now. The player I'm most excited about playing from RCB, because it's a wicket-heavy venue, is Josh Hazlewood. He's one of the best wicket takers in T20 cricket, and he's been sitting out with an injury for a while. But now he's back. He's had a niggle. Yeah, I'm not going to put him in until I see the green dot. But I would actually consider, like, usually I want to wait a match. I would consider putting him in just because it seems like the wickets could fall.
He is a very fast pacer. He had like three of the top five bowling speeds last year or the year before. So especially against batters that are susceptible to that, he's a big deal. Who's the one bowler? If you had one bowler in this match, who are you most excited for?
On either team, I think it's Josh Hazlewood is what I'm most excited for.
Really?
Yep.
Even having not seen him.
Because I know a lot of people are going to be hesitant to play him, but it's a great venue for him. And I know he's good enough to do it. So, yeah, I'm most excited for him.
Okay.
How about you?
Probably Sabotage, Mohammad Siraj.
Yeah, hard to say no to Sabotage.
Yeah, he doesn't fit into the LSG stack up for the next match. But I think if I was just playing one bowler in this match, irregardless mm-hmm. of that, that'd be who I'd be most excited for. But I also really like Ravi Bishnoi.
He's one of those good set it and forget it players.
Yeah, you know, he's not going to burn you in terms of how you set up your rest of 8.5 credits. He's just good. You know, he doesn't make a ton of headlines, but I feel like especially when Lucknow's at home, he tends to show up a little bit more. That could totally be my imagination. I'm not looking at numbers. It just, in my head, that was the first thing. I was like, oh, we'll play Bishnoi. But the only other piece of this that I'm kind of chewing on, not sure how I want to play, is Krunal Pandya.
Yeah, what do you think of him?
He seems like he's actually playing an all-rounder role, which is exciting. Yeah. And again, you can turn around and play him in two matches, and in that match against, you know, CSK again at LSG, if you're trying to balance out your roster from one side or the other, especially if you're thinking boosters or something like that, you know, it seems like at a place that is really, you know, we're forecasting bowlers to have a good day, but you also want somebody to bat. Well, why not find an all-rounder? And Krunal Pandya is kind of doing that. They seem to trust him too. It's not one of those things that you can measure specifically, but sometimes you can tell guys are going to get their opportunities. And Pandya is a veteran. He commands a presence on the field. So when he's good, he's really, really good. And I think somebody's going to have to be on LSG, because there's some overs to go around here when it comes to bowling on that side.
And you might look at his last match and see that he batted seventh and bowled only one over. But remember, last match they almost set the record for runs in the IPL. So they didn't really need him at all.
No,
that's not going to happen this match.
That was an anomaly game for sure.
You said, oh, they're using him in that position. I went and looked at the last match, and I was like, oh, well, they didn't really in that one. But again, that is such a weird match. That.
As far as somebody you want to double dip on, maybe you're not super excited to play Krunal Pandya, but because you basically get to play him twice for the transfer with a quick turnaround, I just feel like he's a little off the radar with this matchup. You're going to see, I think a lot of people are going to be interested in going heavy in on this match, but if you're looking for maybe some value, some long-term play, Pandya was on the radar for me. But
the last one I want to talk about, I forgot about this. It's real quick. Don't put Stoinis in your lineup until you see a green dot, because he did get injured in the last.
Yes, match. And as otherwise, of
he's been awesome.
As of a Google search about an hour ago, there was no specific news other than that he was expected to warm up, and then they would see. So they might not make that decision until the warm-ups before the game. So watch out for him.
Next match, 44, Gujarat Titans versus DC. My first comment on this is, are you picking up Gujarat players to make captain and vice captain because you assume they're going to win this match? The best versus the worst.
The only person that I'm saying yes to that on is Shubman.
That's who I'd put it on. He seems like the safest bet. I know he's had a bust game, but it just seems like he's in the element right now.
I put a note in here that GT equals the New England Patriots. So yeah. This is the Tom Brady era New England Patriots that I'm talking about. This isn't whatever the heck's going on with them right now. But this, if you've played fantasy football enough, just the success on the field doesn't equal an ease of success on the fantasy side of things. I don't know how many times, you know, Tom Brady takes the Patriots deep into the playoffs, but they don't have anybody that you're excited about at wide receiver. They don't have anybody you're excited about at running back. You know, their defense is good, but that's not a player. That's a unit type thing. And then even Tom Brady, because of the way they would play, always the greatest player ever, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be great for fantasy because, oh, they got up 2 touchdowns, and now they're just running it to 7 different running backs, and nobody's getting any points that are valuable to you as a fantasy player. It's like Gronk is there. Gronk is Shubman. Like, he's the best player on the team, and if they're using him appropriately, he's going to do great, but it's very frustrating. GT might be, and I'm sure you feel that they are, the best team in the tournament, but there's, other than Shubman, not a perennial you-gotta-have-it guy. There's some pieces that I really like. Shami, for instance, because he's inexpensive in terms of, like, he's not the cheapest bowler, but he doesn't cramp you to have him sitting down there in a bowling spot.
Yeah.
And same then right with behind Sharma. Who's now on the radar for sure. But the other side of that, like, is Rashid Khan. I really like him.
Yeah.
But he sucks to have to sit on for a bunch of matches. I'm more interested in him if he's got a quick turnaround. Which is not terrible for GT right now, but depending on if you're trying to exploit that LSG CSK stuff, you may or may not be willing to sit on room there.
Sure. Yep. What else is there to say? I'm fading on David Warner. He was never exciting, and now he's like not even that interesting. Mitch Marsh had a big game. He always has one of these each year. I'm not chasing the points.
He's going to bait you right back in there. He's going to do it. Nokia's going to do it. DC's just not very good, and they're playing against a very, very good team in this match. And certain players do better to press. Certain players do better to sit back. The only way I see David Warner playing well in this game is if they open. And even then, it's not going to be super exciting because he's going to face Shami. Shami's going to is going to bowl, you know, in the power play, and he's damn good in that position. Warner showing susceptibility, but if Warner is batting second and GT's put up 220, Warner's going to get out right away because he's going to have to press, which he does not do well. Or he's going to bore you to death because he's going to be scared to death getting out too fast and hampering the team. And he's going to go 10 runs on 26 balls by the time you get to the end of the power play. And now good luck digging out of that hole. So play Warner. What would be your justification for playing Warner?
In this match or in any match?
In this match in particular. What are the circumstances? I'm trying to think of why you would, basically.
I don't know if I'm like a captain of the mustache club at my local mustache club. I don't have a good reason.
I don't know. Even then you'd be mad at him because he shaved most of it off.
That's true.
Not nearly right. As visible as it was before. I think on the DC side though, it's Axar Patel, and that's about it right now.
Yep.
And then pick your poison when it comes to GT. Play Shubman. You know what's strange is we don't have this in the show doc here, but I'm feeling a Hardik Pandya play here.
Yeah, you think he's going to finally hit? I mean, he's coming to life very slowly.
And this feels like the type of game where he's going to come in with confidence and play well. It's a home game. He's ripe for it. He's looked better than he did at the beginning of the season for sure. But again, positioning plays, if you hold on to LSGs, if you're still sitting on some CSKs, you're not wanting to move a ton of guys around. I could see a totally reasonable play here with a couple of all rounders that are legitimately going to all round with Axar Patel and Hardik Pandya. Yeah. Those can be your two guys you play in this match. And then I'm going to punt the uncapped probably to the next match, because there's a bunch of uncapped options that you may or may not still be sitting on that are going to be better plays. So, maybe you heard it here first. Maybe this is, I called Skyscraper. I was excited for him to come back. I'm feeling a Pandya play here. So,
yeah, the final thing to say about this is the uncaps, you're right, are looking not great unless Sai Sudarsan comes back.
And even then, you know, why isn't he playing? You know, because then you're going to have the Jellyfish otherwise, who had a great game, an amazing game, man of the match game, and then was basically unplayable afterwards. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'd be more interested if for some reason you don't, like, if you don't have Trash Panda on your roster and you're looking at this next match, number 45, LSG versus CSK, use your uncapped the match before. And then, you know, then you've got an opportunity for Bodoni or somebody in this next match. But are you ready to move on? Or you want to look at LSG, CSK?
Yeah, let's look at that one. I mean, we've already talked about LSG a lot.
Yep. We also talk about CSK a lot.
We talked about CSK. So I don't have a whole lot to say about this one other than this match has happened once.
Yep.
And I just like to review what happened there and why I think this one is even better as a booster potential, despite the stadium it's being played at.
Oh, okay.
The players who hit last time were the players that you're probably going to put in your lineup. Now, you can't put all these guys in because you don't have that many overseas plays, plus Woods probably not going to play. But Moeen Ali was man of the match with 4 wickets. Gaikwad had 57 runs. Conway had 47. Mayers had 53. Pooran had 32. You had 3 wickets from Bishnoi, 4 from Ali, 2 from Trash Panda. I mean, this was just like a match where the players who hit were the ones you expected to hit. Now, of course, past performance doesn't guarantee future results, but there's so many players on both these teams that are good. And it really feels like the ones that are good are the ones you know are going to be good.
Yep. Well, it's the blessing and the curse of this match is that if you're trying to play a couple of these guys, it's going to be tough because you could play Conway, Gaikwad, and Trash Panda, and those might be like the 5th, 6th, and 7th best players, even though they had good games. So it's going to be tough. I'm definitely excited to have a lot of these guys in my lineup just for that reason, though, because I don't know for sure who's going to hit. You can plan on them all doing well, but as far as like who's going to be the standout guy, because Moeen Ali's really only done that once, and that was in this match before. So... Mm-hmm. If he does it again, he's going to steal somebody's thunder.
Are you considering this at all for another booster?
I am considering it. I don't know why I can't get it. Maybe it's just because it's too fast. A turnaround.
Last one. You still got the clock coming down.
Yeah. As far as like a economy, if I throw a couple of LSGs, probably 3, maybe even 4 in on tomorrow's match, survive and then come right back into this match, I haven't gotten rid of any of my CSK players from earlier today. I'm still set on all of them. So I can, with just a couple of transfers, have an 11 again. As far as being economical, I don't think I'm going to have that opportunity ever again. So it is super tempting. There's just, I just want to match more where I know where the talent is likely to fall for something like that. I don't want to get, like I said, Raheem didn't even bat today. That makes CSK a little difficult for that. LSG is going to do the same thing. They spread the wealth a little too much to, you know, who the top tier batters are going to be that day. The bowlers, who's going to have a good day, depending on where they are, kind of bounces around too much. So there's another match that I'm probably going to use my whole team times two on, just because I feel like some of that stuff's a little bit more clear in that match. But I don't think you would be making a poor choice to do that here.
Yeah. And let's keep talking about boosters a little bit. The next match, Punjab Kings versus Mumbai Indians.
I like it.
I think this one has a good potential for an Indian booster. I know you've heard this from me before, so that's all I'm going to say about it. But if you want to say anything about it, you're welcome to.
No, I mean, half of this equation is one that I went for. That PBKS side is fun. So Shikhar Dhawan should give you a semi, you know, he started off the season so good. He came back to a duck, and then he was better today. He's more than capable. He's the captain of the team, both in the literal sense and then also just how the team operates, because it's crazy how many uncapped guys and like young guys are around this team. This team is so young in so many positions, but as a result, a ton of them have boom or bust capability. I tried to exploit that today. Like Prab Simrat Singh scared me to death because he was a substitute, but I was confident he was going to come in, and he did, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at Jitesh Sharma, you know, you're hoping he's going to get a chance, but he's the closer, he bats late, but both those guys are uncapped. Same thing with Taid, he's uncapped. There's you can get pieces into this match very, very cheaply, which is exciting on the PBKS side. But then I love the MI side for your Indian players, as far as guys that we know are hitting right now, because Sir Yakamore is officially back.
The sky's looking clear.
Good. He 100% will go out for a duck if you use your booster on this one, Mark. But as long as Mark doesn't do that.
I have not decided where I'm going to use my boosters. I had to do a complete rework and I haven't gotten around to it yet.
So okay. But
I can't help you there.
The sky is not falling. The sky is clear. I was excited to see him do well today for sure. You know that's in there, but then I'm in love with Piyush Chawla right now, and you'll get to play him as a boost if you went with an Indian booster on this match.
Yeah, and Arshad Khan had 3 wickets in the last match. He hasn't done anything of note since then, but I mean, it seems like the Indians are figuring things out a little bit. And this is also a match where I wouldn't mind playing 10 Indian players and then having Cameron Green in there too, because he's been he's hit on pretty much every match for the last 6 matches.
Sure. Yeah, I think the bowling side of it is probably the one side that's a little bit tricky, because I mentioned Piyush Chawla. Arshdeep Singh is there, who has just been so solid this year. If you wanted another Indian bowler, there's not anybody who's really standing out. So you might have to kind of shoot from the hip there. I played Rahul Chahar today, which felt very brave at the time, mostly just because of his record at Chepauk, but he's there. But maybe that's a situation where you just kind of sacrifice that spot away in terms of an Indian player. And then, all-rounder is a little tricky too. You're probably going to have to play an overseas all-rounder, but you can fill out your batting order really, really well. You could, if you're feeling brave, play Ishan Kishan with Jitesh Sharma and the wicketkeeper. You can play 6 batters, which is great, because that's what you're going to want to do in this match. And you've got you've got so many good options. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not saying I regret having spent my booster today, but this would have been a fun one.
If you aren't going to play your booster, a little bit of news. They recently signed, I didn't even know you could really do this, but they picked up a new bowler, Chris Jordan. He played last year. He should be ready to start in this match. He's number 44 bowler rank on the ICC T20 rankings, which puts him in the range of Josh Little, Harshal Patel, Hardik Pandya, which isn't off the charts good, but certainly worth keeping an eye on. He also is just getting away out of the International League T20 tournament, which is actually, it's called the International League, but it's the UAE version of the IPL.
Okay.
And in that, he was the MVP of the tournament. He was the lead wicket taker. So,
so he's in form.
Yeah, which is 2 wickets per match. So it wasn't, you know, it's not a crazy amount, but really that's, I bet that's actually what you're going to end up with.
Is he a straight bowler or is he an all-rounder?
I'm not sure where he's going to factor in. I think he's a bowler. He didn't have a lot of runs.
Okay. Just wondering whose work then is he going to cut into?
I'm wondering if it's Archer. If Archer's just, he played today. I mean, he was fine today, but if he's just done. Like maybe today played, but he hurt and he doesn't feel good. So
it feels the most obvious, if nothing else, but because they'd both be overseas.
They better not mess with Piyush.
I think Piyush is probably safe. I think you can safely Piyush on through with Chawla. But I could see this affecting Cameron Green's bowling overs potentially.
Possible.
If they focus more on specialists and less away from him, but if it's a swap out, if it's this Chris Jordan guy for
Cameron Green's kind of sucked at bowling the last few matches too.
He was close. I thought he had a wicket today. Oh, that wicket.
Yeah.
And he was economical, so it wasn't terrible. He's just not getting a ton of wickets, but that's a good name to keep an eye out for.
All right, next match. 47, last one we're talking about today, Sunrisers Hyderabad versus KKR. My first thing that came to mind was, is this the new DC versus SRH, the one that we had nothing to say except avoid it? I don't know if it really is because I am burnout on KKR. Like, I've been thinking about KKR because of my booster, and then it ended up not happening, and they ended up blowing that match. Like, they were pretty bad. So I'm like, I don't even want to think about KKR. Maybe that's affecting it. What do you think?
KKR is tricky because there's a lot of good, not a ton of great, but better than DC. Like, DC, it's basically, you don't know, so either everybody's going to, you're going to have a couple guys who do really well and everybody else is going to do terrible. Like, I feel like that's DC. Like, maybe David Warner does well. Hopefully XR Patel does well. And then, like, it's going to be somebody else. It was Mitch Marsh. It's going to be, I don't even know. Like, Lali Yedev is going to just, you know, like, randomly have a huge game and it's going to be totally unpredictable. With KKR, the one advantage I feel like you gain back is, okay, Venkatesh Iyer is there. Nitish Rana is there. Andre Russell is there. When those guys do good, it's less surprising.
True.
They should be good. But guys like Rana and Iyer, like, what if they get you 45 points? Do you feel good about it? That's the frustration I feel like with KKR, is like that is totally reasonable. Nitish Rama comes out, maybe he gets like 33 runs, a couple of boundaries in there, he gets the start, so he gets you like 45 points.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that just kills your transfer efficiency. Yeah. It feels terrible to do that for one match.
Feels like you wasted it.
So for this match, I'm not interested in that as I am. If I'm going to have to burn transfers, I want, you know, swing for the fences, guys. I'd rather have a bust on somebody who's likely to boom otherwise. And that's like the XR Patels. That's, something like that. But I think there's some cheapies in here that you can be excited about, like Rinku. We talked about him. Rinku, to me, by the way, I don't know why this is happening in my brain right now. Feels like it would be some sort of board game. With like, hey man, you want to come over and play some Rinku? Like, yeah, I don't know, missing a bunch of pieces from the box. It's kind of annoying. But
yeah. Yeah, board game, it doesn't really have a theme. It's just one of those, like, has a bunch of little tiles or something.
Yeah, Hasbro came up with it, and they gave it the right order. Yeah, to make it sound like it's one of these, like, ancient, you know, Orient-based games, but it's not. It was created in a, you know, in a Sheboygan basement somewhere. What about Suyash?
Yeah, I was thinking the way he wrote this in the show doc. Don't forget Rinku unless you're still in love with Suyash. Well, I'm in love with Suyash's hair.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part about Suyash. Those flowing locks.
If you don't make the playoffs in our league this year, I think you should have to grow your hair out to Suyash length.
It's not possible. I'd be better off just going to like a wig store and saying, this is the wig I want. Or this is, and showing him a picture of Suyash.
I'm going to ruin Suyash for you here. What if Sue is just short for super and it's Super Yash?
It's Super Yash.
What if his middle name is Dial?
You know, when Gujarat beat KKR at Eden Gardens, I feel like I can finally let Yash Dial go. I feel almost more like bad for him. Like, The last over that guy played was the Rinku Singh miracle. Like, I kind of want Hardik to bring him back in now because it seems like he could use that. I think Dhoni would bring him back in. I think Dhoni would bring him back in and say, you're getting another chance. We believe in you. So I hope he does actually get another one. No, I'm not going to play Suyash over Rinku, but if I'm picking my uncapped, I'm actually really interested in Abhishek Sharma for this one.
Okay.
You'll remember last match, I talked about Aiden Markram being maybe the guy to take over Washington Sundar's overs. He was not. He didn't bowl at all. Abhishek Sharma did that instead. He's the same. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but the same type of bowler.
Yeah.
And he bowled some overs. He played in the middle overs or the middle order and was great in that match. I mean, as far as fantasy perspective anyway.
Uh-huh.
I didn't actually watch the match because why would you watch DC and SRH? So I'm really interested in taking a swing.
I was too busy playing Rinku with my family. It was family Rinku night.
You're at your Rinku league. So.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that because there is a void there with Sundar Washington. Washington Sundar, rather, being away.
And are you taking a look at Ramanula Gurbaz?
Every time he's available, I am.
Yeah. I was big on him. You may remember I was big on him at the beginning of the season,
mm-hmm.
As a great player who most people probably haven't heard of.
He's Afghani, then, I think. Is that because that's the one thing that kind of turned me away from him because he had a big game that caught my attention. We talked about him on the podcast, and he was already on your radar. He was new to me, and I asked you what you thought about him. We were both excited, and then it was like, oh, but he's overseas, so
right. Yeah. We don't really know what's going on with Jason Roy.
Yes.
We don't know what's going on with Jason Roy, why he didn't play. So, I don't know. Worth looking at. I don't think I'm going to pick him up. This is one of those matches I'm more just going to skip pass on.
This isn't as bad to me as the SRHDC double up that we had over the last couple of weeks, but it's knocking on the door a little bit. Which brings us to our final segment of the episode. Mark, why don't you introduce this? This was kind of your idea.
Yeah, I'm calling them Back Half Heroes and Zeros, brought to you by Joss Butler. So this is what kind of gave us this thought was Joss Butler's recent performances. Is who in this back half, the second half of the season, who's going to be the players that the heroes, the ones that win you your league, the ones that really bring it home for you that maybe other people will shy away from or won't think of as much. And then which ones are the other side of that coin? The ones that they're going to tank you, they're going to sink you if you keep playing them.
Yeah. So
we each got a couple.
Yeah, and just to emphasize the whole Joss Butler thing, that was what sort of started this conversation is that I didn't even put Joss Butler in my lineup today. And I just could not have fathomed a month ago that being a smart choice and it's starting to feel like that. So yes, somebody in your league, maybe even you, are going to ride Joss Butler into the ground. You're going to burn your transfers. You're going to burn your captaincy, your vice captaincy. And it's, you're just holding that position hostage and it's going to be terrible. Maybe he comes back to life and you end up being better for it. But some of these guys are going to, there's going to be a divergence here. If you commit to some of these people, they're going to take you up or they're going to take you down.
Do you want to start with the zeros or the heroes? I think I want to start with the zeros.
Oh, okay.
So that we can end on a positive note.
I like that. Let's zero it out. Let's yash it out.
My first zero might feel like a bit of low-hanging fruit, but it is from DC, Mukesh Kumar.
Ugh, poor Mukesh.
I've seen him on a bunch of rosters in our league because he's uncapped and he plays for DC. And he seems like, oh, okay, I'll pick up Mukesh Kumar. He's the only one who's a reliable, at least he's going to play and get his overs uncapped. But he's done nothing with it. And I would rather look ahead and see when's Jaiswal playing. I'll just pick him up now with my uncapped. Or Trash Panda. Or, I mean, even the sanitizer, Drev Jarrell. I'd rather pick up ahead of time. I don't think I'd ever reach that point. But, yeah, I'm ignoring him.
Yeah, Mukesh has been tricky because he's had at least a good game. I don't know that it was... Something happened. It put you on the radar. But yeah, you're right that the primary reason he has gained this popularity is that he plays for DC as an uncapped. And these last two matches where DC played SRH, there weren't great uncapped options. And so it just kind of seemed easy. I think in the first match when those two teams played each other, I played David Warner and Mukesh Kumar, and I got like 12 points. It was a bust on both ends. And it didn't feel like it was going to hurt that I put Mukesh Kumar in there, but I had to drop somebody to put him in there, which equaled having to use a transfer later. So we're talking about maybe sometimes it's just best to do nothing. It sounds like a terrible insult, but Mukesh Kumar is a situation where I'd have been better off playing nobody because the points to return for the transfers that I then had to use were not great. I don't know that he'll be as popular now that DC has moved out of that rut with SRH, but I'm steering
clear. He's free, so it's an easy one to just say, oh, I'm going to put him in. But you do miss some opportunity costs, not saving that uncapped transfer for one of the 8 or 10 really pretty decent uncaps. All right, who's your zero?
Well, and again, this feels weird, but Yuzvendra Chahalwood. I can't believe I'm saying it.
This does feel a little dirty.
I don't know if he's washed. I don't know what the deal is. This is a weird just RR thing, you know, with Butler being down, Samson's down. Jaiswal's the only one who's like for sure up. Ashwin's looking good. But like, so Yuzvendra Chahal.
Is Ashwin kind of like the Georgia or the Albuquerque, where like all the movies are going to, they're starting to be made in New Mexico and made in Georgia because it's so much cheaper there to do it. And Hollywood's really hurting.
Yeah, you're onto something there.
Continue, please.
The Chabaliwood. I don't know, but if I asked you and maybe you looked, when's the last time Chahalwood's gotten a wicket?
I didn't look. I have actually their last game against Mumbai in front of me, but I knew he didn't get a wicket there.
Okay.
3 matches ago.
So it was match 32 against RCB. How many did he get?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
One?
Yep. Okay. He has not. So working backwards, 2 points, 2 points, 31, 2 points, 29. Over his last 4 matches, he's gotten you 1 wicket. And not only that, his economy rate has been poor, such that he's dropping to 2 points and not even just getting the starting 4.
In the last match, he didn't even get 4 overs.
So not only is he not being efficient, he's not getting wickets, he's now also starting to not get work.
Yeah.
We've liked him.
Yeah, he's always been to me one of those just keep him on your roster because he's going to get you wickets.
Just put him there.
At least 3 or 4 other guys that play that role better now.
And yeah, on that team nonetheless. And there's just it's disappointing because I like him. He's fun. He's a fun player to watch. But The only reason I'm putting him in a zero is not only because he's getting zeros, but because he is the guy that's the name, and people are just going to keep plugging away on him. And I think, like Joss Butler, he might have a good game or two, but he's just not going to be worth the transfers right now. If you let him go, you're probably fine not going and pursuing him again.
Yeah, I think I'd back you up on that. That's a hard pill to swallow, but it's certainly right. But I have a bonus zero.
Ooh.
I have a bonus one. My next zero is Sam Curran.
Tough to hear right now.
Another tough one. Yeah, he just had a decent match, right?
He's had a few.
I'm worried about Sam Curran. He has been better when Dawan wasn't there.
Yep.
And I'm afraid that now that Dawan's back, he has a chance of, and also Liam Livingston's back.
Yep.
And so Liam Livingston has been playing further than Sam Curran up the order. And we know from last year that Livingston can bat, and we know that he can bowl. So I'm just afraid the opportunities are going to start to dry up, but he's been so good and so consistent that people are going to have him in their lineups every time and just be disappointed a lot.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's super tempting because he's a legitimate all-rounder. There's less and less of those. So if you're playing one guy, or if you're playing a minimal lineup that involves PBKS, it seems like a relatively safe bet. But again, are you happy if you burned a transfer on Sam Curran and at the end of the day he's gotten you 40, 45 points? Probably not, unless you're double dipping on him.
No.
And that's, so to me, he's not a zero. He's just like a zero plus.
No. Right.
He's just one of these guys that's just not worth it. He's not going to tank you unless you're missing out. I liked your term, the opportunity cost. You're probably better with somebody else, even if they're not in that match. So he's a leave behind for me. For now, I don't know what changes with PBKS that would make me change my mind on that, but I agree. I'm done with Sam Curran for a while.
All right, now let's go to the heroes.
Yay.
And I'll kick this one off. I feel like this guy is kind of a hero for both of us at the moment, and that's Big Sky.
Big Sky, or however,
I mean,
they say
started
it.
As such a disappointment. we made lots of jokes between he and Rohit Sharma.
So yeah, I mean, preseason when I was getting his name wrong as Sir Yakamore, that's how. I mean, maybe the very first episode we were, you know, hyping this guy up.
You're big on him.
And,
yep.
And he's maybe finally proving that we were onto something.
Yeah, I think Mumbai Indians have gotten their act together. Whereas, like, you started out, the three teams that sucked were DC, SRH, and MI. Mumbai seems to be the one of those three that is crawling out of the hole.
Yeah.
So... And Big Sky finally hitting is Big Sky finally cracking thunder is why I think a lot of the reason. I mean, they've also got some other players that are really helping out, but I think going forward, Big Sky is going to be great. I don't think he's going to finish. He's not going to like beat Pfaff in the orange cap running, but I would not be surprised if he ends the season as one of the top 12 batters, top 10 batters even.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally reasonable. He's, in my opinion, the obvious bat on that team to do well.
I mean, it's great seeing him play. Did you watch the match today?
So, unfortunately, it was when I had to watch that on a tracker, but it was ridiculous that every single time I was using the CricBuzz tracker, and anybody who's listening or uses it knows what I'm talking about. You get a pink 6 and a blue 4. So it's like it catches your attention when there's, you know, boundaries or a red W when there's a wicket and stuff like that. So like you can kind of have your phone or whatever you're using off to the side and it just like, oh, something happened. It was like every update while he was batting was pink and blue. It's like, holy cow, this guy is just on fire. I mean, what was his strike rate by the time that all came to an end today?
His strike weight was 190.
Awesome.
He just seemed like he was putting it exactly where he wanted it to go every time.
Yeah.
And it was all over the field. It was any direction he wanted it to go, he could make it go that way. And it took a backward run dive catch to get him out.
Yeah, it was. It might be the catch of the year. Like, they were talking about that in the written commentary that I saw. But interestingly, so if you go back to match 35 with Sky, he scored 23 runs, which doesn't feel great, but his strike rate was also 190, 191, actually. So he had 3 4s and a 6 in that. So he's going to get you boundaries. I think he's just really thriving playing a little bit later in the role in the batting order. So, you know, maybe they were force feeding him into a bad position a couple times earlier, but I'm afraid of Sky only not because of his talent, but because Mumbai seems to be whispering about the possibility of shaking up their opening order, because Ishan Kishan just will not fire. Rohit is unreliable. So I'm afraid that since Sky is doing really well, they'll throw him up there. If it turns out to not be a good move, you could put a bad wrinkle into this, but I'm very excited for him to be back. So
I'll tell you right now, if they're doing that, they're gonna bring in a new opener. I want it to be the varmint. Do you like Varma?
Yeah,
I'm sick of him batting like seventh. He used to bat third or fourth, and
he needs a change. Something's going on with him too.
Yeah. All right. Who's your next one? The next hero.
My hero. It's time to get on the Dre Russ bus. You know, if you're,
man muscle, Dre Russell.
That's a big, powerful bus. And that.
You need a bus.
That bus is starting to get a tune up. You know, and it is ready to carry the whole damn team. So we've been waiting for the bat, but birthday boy this last time around, put up 36 or something like that. Like not tremendous, but it's there. But he's killing it with the wickets when he bowls, and he seems to have carved out an every match necessity with bowling overs. He's going to bowl, and I don't think he has had a match where he's bowled and not gotten a wicket.
Yeah, it's worked. That's why it's looking like it's going to be something that stays.
And I've been trying to watch as many games where he's involved, because he's always kind of been one of my favorite players. He should have had even more wickets. In the last game, there were drops. Your boy Suyash, Super Yash. He easily could have gotten Russ another wicket there. And I think in the match before that.
Did you see how mad Russ was?
Yeah.
After that?
I mean, he was furious. I think angry Russ is good for fantasy. So.
Oh, it's scary.
So. I'm on the Russ bus, and I'm going to just let him drive me to a fantasy championship.
Nice. And then the final one, the bonus one, I think it's, would you say that this player is like, as a podcast, is one of our favorite players?
Yeah. Not only does he
have... There's nobody we like are just more sort of joyful talking about than this
guy. I think if you just went based on mentions, he would be...
Oh, yeah.
The name. So high up there. Give it to us.
So if you haven't guessed already, it is the Trash Panda for the Super Kings. He's free. He doesn't cost you anything. Although I haven't used my uncapped on him in a while, because he's just sitting on my
always
lineup
there.
At 6.5 credits. Yeah. There's no reason to take him out.
Is that all he is, 6.5 credits?
I would like a fact check on that.
Okay. He's inexpensive, yeah.
It's stupid low, whatever it is.
Yeah, because some of those
7 credits.
Okay, so some of those bowlers hurt you a little bit more. They're 8.5, 9 credits. Some of the big names, but as far as you know, we talked about sort of those uncapped heroes, Jaiswal being on the batting side. This is the equivalent on the bowling side. Super super consistent, and still has a high ceiling.
So there's, and speaking of, he has 7 credits, and you can sort by credits. For players 7 credits and fewer.
How many more points does he have the next over the next best?
With 459. The next guy's Vijay Shankar with 302. He has 160 points more than the next guy.
And Shankar's had some huge games.
Yeah, there's no better value. Sai Sudarsan is below him. Of course, Sudarsan hasn't played for the last like 3 matches. But as far as like bang for your buck, there's nobody else right now.
No. Not at all. The only
Keep him on your lineup. Get 2 wickets every time he plays.
Uh-huh. The only thing that makes me, you know, because like we're talking about heroes here, is that like, is there anybody in your league who's not gonna play Trash Panda? Like every time he's up, like at this point, it's not a differential pick. You're playing Trash Panda because you want the points that everybody else in your league is gonna get. It's not like you've not gained an advantage by knowing about this secret player who's better than everybody else.
I still think you do a little bit because he's not a flashy player. He's not a Jaiswal who bats huge sixes right at the beginning of the innings.
Yeah, you know,
I think there is still an advantage to be had. Maybe not what it was 3 matches ago.
And maybe that he's buried on a phenomenally talented CSK roster. Because who's the best bowler for CSK? Is it Trash Panda?
I think he's the highest in the Purple Cap standings.
Well, he leads it. I'd just be curious, you know, as far as like who has the most value to the team. Is it Trash Panda or is it Jadeja, who in my opinion is probably the best veteran bowler, even though he's technically an all-rounder?
I would say that Jadeja is probably the better value to the team.
He's, you know, he's a veteran presence. He will bat some. I don't know if we've seen Trash Panda bat yet, but I'm 100% playing Trash Panda over the two overseas bowlers that they have down there, Tikshana, Mahesh, those guys. I don't see a reason to play those guys unless you're doing something cute with an overseas booster or something like that.
When they came back in, I almost expected them to kind of take over the Dash Panda role.
He's holding on to it, and he should.
In our league, last match, 8 of the 10 players had Trash Panda play. So yeah, it is kind of a almost everybody's gonna play him.
But Trash Panda also holds a sweetheart spot in our league because he has one of the best nicknames for our group of guys. So I love the pick though. I mean he is a hero. He may be the fantasy hero of the season, at least on the bowling side for sure.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Want to shut it down? Yeah, I think that's what we wanted to get after today. That was a ton of content, but we came out of a bizarre weekend and we're coming into some bizarre matches. So that's going to happen.
All right, man.
All right, well, we'll talk to you later and good luck.
Take it easy.